You're listening to KBPS in Portland, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. My name's Joe, alongside my peer, my cohort, my wonderful on-air partner.
No need to talk me half so much.
You were in the Senate. Oh. You know, my wonderful so-and-so.
And alongside U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, we've got an amazing interview planned for you today. Ron Wyden, thank you so much for coming here to KBPS to be with us for this interview. It's really special to us to be able to get senators like you here. So with that being said, let's just jump right on into our interview. Senator Wyden, you've been in office since 1996. What would you say your largest legislative victories have been? What did it take to get them into law? And are there any you might be a bit disappointed you feel were watered down by compromise? And if so, which ones?
Probably the biggest took place recently. And I wrote the law authorizing the biggest investment in fighting climate change in American history. And this is your generation, guys. We remember what it's been like the last few summers, you know, going out and it's 100 degrees, 110 degrees and the like. It's terrible for everybody's health, you know, seniors, people who are having difficulty breathing. And there's been gridlock on climate for more than two decades. And I wrote the law to break the gridlock. In fact, over the years, there have been debates about carbon taxes. There have been debates about what's called cap and trade. There have been debates about more regulation. And, you know, I had a pretty good sense none of it was going anywhere. And so after the last time things failed, Joe Manchin, you probably heard that name, invited me to come to West Virginia. And I tried out on him a new idea. And I said, Joe, I'm chairman of the tax writing committee. And we've got all these tax incentives. And most of them are relics from yesteryear, from years and years before you guys were born. I said, I'd like to kind of throw them in the garbage can and, in effect, come up with something that's technology neutral so that it'd be science-driven. And we'd also say the more you reduce carbon, the bigger your tax savings. It passed. It's been signed into law. And I think it gives us a chance to move really boldly on solar and wind and geothermal. Electric vehicles, I think they'll be very popular with your generation. Again, the prospect for real transformation in terms of particularly our public health and protecting our treasures.
That was the Inflation Reduction Act, correct?
That was a key part. In fact, most of the big provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act were written in our committee. We also, for the first time, the consumer beat Big Pharma. You know, people go to Fred Meyer or Safeway or wherever you get their medicine, they feel like they're getting mugged. And as you know, a lot of students and a lot of young people, for example, are already caught up with diabetes. And they're getting clobbered with the price of insulin. And so we wrote the law that for the first time with Medicare for older people, and now it'll get, I think, when people see it, it'll apply to other age groups asking for the same thing. We're saying that we're going to cap it. Insulin at $35 a month out of pocket, and also for the first time, Medicare is going to start negotiating to hold down the cost of medicine for cancer drugs, arthritis drugs, that kind of thing. And we beefed up tax law so that wealthy tax cheats couldn't cheat on the rules. You know, if you're a student or one of your parents, you're a firefighter or a nurse or a teacher, you pay tax with every paycheck. Not the way it works for the big guys. So I think these laws are really going to be an important step forward. And also the technology laws that I wrote over the years have been really important for your generation as well.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned electric vehicles. So that actually moves us right into our next little topic, and that is transportation. So do you support expanding use of federal funds to better this nation's public transportation network?
Absolutely. And as part of these bills, we've been able, through the budget process, to get additional help for TriMet and other kinds of transportation services. The key word in transportation, of course, is choice. And I think people are going to take those environmentally sound choices because they're actually going to be more affordable with laws like the one I just mentioned, the Clean Energy for America bill, where we got 90% of what we wanted in our legislation.
Further, do you support a federally backed transportation movement away from a car-oriented infrastructure and development like freeways cutting right through urban centers, or do you think that it would be better to have more walkable?
We've already begun that effort, Senator Merkley and I, in Northeast Portland with efforts to protect the community. As you know, they've been forced to make some very difficult choices over the years, and you bet we definitely want alternatives to freeways, and the cap over the freeway as well is going to help.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Those are my two little segments just starting us off.
Those aren't little. They talk about transportation and climate. That's your generation. We gotta get going.
Absolutely.
Send it over to Vinny.
Yeah, those are hugely important parts of the legislature. We're looking forward to seeing you propose. And having seen you propose previously, another one of those pieces of legislation that you proposed last year, which I don't believe got passed, was your Billionaire Tax Act. I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about that and what inspired you to propose
it. We'll be back, because I think people understand what this is about is fairness. If you're a firefighter or a nurse, you pay taxes with every single paycheck. A lot of the billionaires can go for years on end paying little or nothing in taxes. And that's because, to a great extent, and the economic theory is called buy, borrow, and die. If they have a lot of money, they can buy something, they can borrow against it, they can, for example, go to a bank and say, I want to have a terrific lifestyle, I want to have 3-4 homes, I want to travel, get very low interest loans, and you can, to a great extent, do that and pay little or no taxes until you die. So I think it comes down to fairness. I think one of the questions one of your students asked, and we were, might as well bring it up now, is, you know, about the Bush tax cuts. And the Bush tax cuts were all about giving breaks to the people at the top. And a lot of those people, rather than making investments, would, you know, hang on to their money. And as I said, if they were billionaires, they could, to a great extent, live off their borrowings with their holdings. That's not the way it is with a firefighter or nurse. I believe you grow the economy from the middle out. That's how you grow the economy. And that's my philosophy as chairman of the Finance Committee.
I wanted to ask why you think that struggled to pass last year.
For me?
Why do you think the Billionaire Tax Act didn't pass last year?
Billionaires have a lot of friends. They got a lot of lobbyists. And they all said, oh my goodness, Western civilization is going to end if we have to pay some taxes. But I think we're going to get it passed. And there's a recent article written in a publication called The American Prospect, and they went through sort of blow by blow how some of these policies took several years to accomplish. We will get that done.
It's exciting. Joe, you want to move on into some of your next questions?
Yeah, sure thing. So we just talked a little bit about climate change and the recent legislation that you introduced, but, you know, some people might think that, you know, this is too much. You know, we might be not really taking these actions at a detriment to the economy, and there's also some people that are like, we're not doing enough. You know, this is our shared future. And where do you fall there? Do you think that recent law that passed...
This bill is a very strong start. And it is in particular going to be a huge job creator for clean energy manufacturing, for batteries and storage and solar and wind. There are going to be a lot of jobs here. And they're going to be high-skill, high-wage jobs. And I think this is a strong start. It's obviously not everything that needs to be done. I'm focused also on increasing transmission capability. Because you have renewable energy, you got to move it somewhere, and we're going to have to beef up transmission. But I think it's a very bold step in the right direction.
Very bold, but is there anything you were disappointed you think that we could have done?
The big thing I was very disappointed about was that we didn't get transmission capability, because that's an investment also along the lines you're talking about for young people, of speeding everything up. Solar, wind, and geothermal. You know, the big guys have been working the permit system for ages and ages. We got to get solar, wind, and geothermal projects approved and renewables, and that's what I'm putting my focus on with transmission.
Yeah, well, wonderful. So another topic, just shifting focus a bit, is education. So throughout the country, particularly in, you know, more conservative states, there's been this trend. State legislators are prohibiting topics about gender identity and sexual orientation to be discussed in schools, and going as far as to ban books. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm a strong opponent of banning books. And maybe it's in my DNA. My dad was a writer and an author. My mom was a librarian. We got books all over our DNA. And, you know, I think we're better as a country by having an ability to have a debate of knowledge and information widely shared. So I'm big funding, you know, I'm a big supporter of funding for libraries, for example. I think we also know that in a lot of instances, that's where young people go to get internet service. And I've been pushing hard to expand broadband. But lots of times, a library 1,000 feet away is kind of where students are sitting there doing their homework.
So these laws, banning books, you said you oppose them, but are you taking any actions?
To a great extent, it probably is more a state or a federal kind of law. But I can fund libraries, which is something I do, which is, again, a way to show that instead of banning knowledge, you're giving people a chance to get more of it.
Okay, thanks. Vinny, let's send it back to you.
One of the things that I think we'd love to hear about is your work in helping deal with student loan debt. You've talked a lot about working for the middle out, and student loan debt can be something that's really hard on some of our middle-class Americans.
Well, it's devastating. I mean, I was just reviewing some data today because of my work with the elderly. The number of seniors who've had student loan debt hanging over them for ages and ages. And now they're at the point when they're older, they're having their Social Security garnished. So this is just not right. Now, there are a couple things. First, education is one of the few things that hasn't lent itself to the marketplace. Very often, if the Congress increases, say, Pell Grants or something, tuition goes up by exactly that same amount. What a surprise. So the student doesn't get ahead. So I've proposed, and the government is moving towards this, what's called Know Before You Go, where you could get information about graduation rates and debts and job prospects and this kind of thing. And I think in terms of actual student debt today, probably the thing I want to do the most is tie payments to income. So if you're making, you know, big salary, you can be on a schedule that reflects that. But if you don't make much, you can't. And I've also been able to win support in the Senate for saying that if you're talking about a retirement package, what a student owes for their money on their debt counts as their portion of the retirement package, so they can also get some savings for retirement.
Thank you so much, Senator. These are definitely all topics that we all care so deeply about. But unfortunately, I'd love to spend so much more time with you on air, but we are just about out of time. And thank you so much for coming to KBPS with us. Vinny, anything you'd like to say today?
Oh, my goodness, golly. I can't believe we're out of time so soon. Feels like there's so much more to ask.
Hey, can I get an invitation to come back?
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Any day.
Done.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Senator Wyden. Vinny, thank you so much for being here. I'd like to thank the members.
To be continued.
Yes, to be continued. We'll be back another day.
It has been absolutely delightful having you on air.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Well, Vinny, what have we got coming up next for our listeners?
Coming up next is going to be John Denver with Take Me Home, Country Road. And hopefully one day we'll have you on air again, Senator Wyden.
I want to do it.
Up next, John Denver on KBPS.